Support for Talking Art on WVIK comes from the people at Quad City Bank and Trust, helping the local community with their banking and financial needs for more than 20 years. Information is at qcbt.com. Support also comes from the estate of Margaret Skinner, a longtime friend of WVIK and lover of the arts.
This is Carolyn Martin, and I'm talking art today with Gail Ray, who is the first place winner of this year's College Invitational at the Figge Art Museum. Welcome, Gail.
Thank you.
Yeah. Your entry is entitled Entertaining Angels Unaware, and is a really creative take on your fascination with both portraiture and the human figure. So for those who've not seen it, describe your winning entry.
Well, there are three large sculptures. The largest one is 89 inches high, and the other two are about 5 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And they're made out of found objects, which is a sculpture genre that Picasso created, where he just used abandoned, cast-off materials and made sculpture that was really fun and quirky.
They really are fun and quirky, and you can see some of the found objects. You have to peer at them fairly closely, but you can see like part of a mirror frame, and the faces are really interesting. They're the backside of wooden bowls, most of them, I believe.
Right, and they're painted in oil,
mm-hmm.
So they're actually a painting.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the figures are made of like antique bric-a-brac, game boards, cast-off wood. I use wood because I put the joints together with dowels, and you know you can work wood easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are jointed. The arms at least can move back and forth.
Right.
The faces are just beautiful, and they've been likened to the faces at least of these older Byzantine icons, and they have these halos behind the painted faces that really create the angel form that you were I think working towards.
Right. And it really started with the first piece, which actually was an assignment for a class at Scott Community College. And even though as an architect, I was just always working in 2D, like painting. And I never really did sculpture, which a building is like a large sculpture. And it was just a lot of fun to do this assignment, and so I just carried on. Uh-huh. But the first one I thought was kind of like an angel icon, and so that first piece inspired a series after
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah. The figure on the right has a portion of a phrase. You can't read the whole thing, but it says, your house, B2, and there's the letter S, which I think it should mean small, to hold all your friends. So it's this really lovely, like, may your house be too small to hold all your friends. It's this really lovely message that comes across.
That's right. You know, sometimes I like to incorporate signs with neat messages.
Uh-huh.
And then when you put all these pieces together, then you have to kind of unify them and blend them together and make them look it like a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what was the inspiration behind your work?
For the angels
uh-huh.
and icon series? Well, I have to say that my inspiration is a really personal thing. You know, I feel like there's always kind of an angel watching out for us. We all need our guardian angels. And so that just kind of flowed out of a personal feeling that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then the first piece. And, you know, I had been looking at Byzantine icons, and I had been to Venice and seen them in the mosaics. And I'm just, I like portraiture and studying the human face, but the Byzantine ones have this primitive quality to them, but they're very modern and graphic at the same time. So, you know, maybe you can't, they aren't a direct influence, but you can see a little hint of that.
You definitely can. They're just beautifully done, and I hope people get a chance to go see them. Now, this being a college invitational, students from 8 different area colleges submitted their work from both the Iowa and the Illinois side of the river, and you represented Eastern Iowa Community College, or, you know, Scott Community College as we used to know it. And how did that feel?
Well, it's pretty exciting that, you know, to be given the opportunity to show at the Figge and to have your teacher come up to you and suggest that you do a work for it. Of course, he always tells me to make it big. And then he says, you know that piece you did last year? That wasn't big enough.
Well, I think this accomplished it, because the three figures, these icons or angels, are very large and very visible as you walk into that space. You had alluded earlier to the fact that you were an architect, and so I wanted to talk about that because you have such an interesting background and were a very non-traditional student, to say the least, while at Eastern Iowa Community College. Right. So talk about what your first career was like.
Well, my first career was in architecture. I went to Iowa State University and I studied, and I designed large hospitals, like $600 million hospitals, and I was the second woman in Iowa to be licensed as an architect, and this meant I was a pioneer throughout my entire career, always the first woman to get there, and which was challenging and kind of fun, too. And so whenever I worked on a project, it was all about problem solving, and each project you had to learn something new. So I've learned to kind of have a can-do attitude and seek out the information to do new things, and then I apply them in my art.
Yeah, well, you sure did. And I love the fact that you completely reinvented yourself. So after this career as an architect, you decide to go back and get an art degree. And what actual degree did you obtain from Eastern Iowa Community College? Because it wasn't necessarily in art.
Right. I joined the Fine Arts Club at Scott Community College. And but I got a scholarship, and I had to focus on a career path that was in demand. Mm-hmm. So one of the in-demand ones was mechanical design, which is really like kind of like 3D drafting, and which I had already been doing as an architect.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of overlap. And mm-hmm. and in general, there's, you know, there's these abstract connections, of course, between architecture and art. You're creating and making something beautiful just in a different way. So it does, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, it seems more like a natural extension for you to move into this. But still, it's quite remarkable what you've done.
And I learned a lot, but as I was working, I was kind of getting excited about how I could apply this with my art. So I'd go up to my teacher and I'd say, I have this idea to do this. And he meant let me do these little experiments, and which were really fun for me, because we used 3D printing and scanning and what have you. And then I went on to do two honors projects where I scanned a human body and then 3D printed them full size and CNC milled them in wood. Mm-hmm. And it was quite fun to come up with this idea that was a cross between technology and art.
Right. You know, it really is. And I didn't realize until we started talking that Eastern Iowa Community College has this Blong Technology Center, which is part of their community college system, but it's away from their main campus. It's located in Western Davenport off of Northwest Boulevard. And can you tell us a little bit about what that center's like, that technology center?
Well, of course, the main campus has your traditional classes like English and math and chemistry and, you know, kind of medical-centered courses. But the Blong Center is all the technology stuff. And there's a lot of industrial processes being taught out there. And, of course, you know, I'm coming from architecture and going into this more industrial environment. But, you know, I feel comfortable because, you know, I like tools and I like learning new things. And so for me, it was challenging and fun. And you know, I just graduated with my degree. And I graduated magna cum laude.
Yeah, well, congratulations. It shows in your art. And I love the fact, too, that you were out there in this technology center where they have, you know, drafting and a machining lab and welding and instrumentation lab. And you did learn to use a lot of tools that you're that help you create your work, not just things like table saws, but you're using laser cutters to make stencils and things like that. So skills that you didn't necessarily have before.
Right. And so, you know, I'm downtown at the Quad City Co-Lab, and they have a laser cutters and they have CNC cutters. And so so I've learned these processes at the Blong Center, and now I can independently apply them. And I'm having a lot of fun mm-hmm. with the laser cutter.
Yeah. Well, you'd mentioned the Quad City Co-Lab, and that is where your current studio is. And that itself is an interesting artistic space. Let's talk about that. Now, it's based at the, it's near the base of the Centennial Bridge.
Right.
And it's owned by Eastern Iowa.
Community College.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people doing fascinating things in there.
Oh, I know. There's a lot of geeks and computer nerds. And so there's all these resources that if you need to figure out how to do something, you can go to this person. And so it's really cool just to see what everybody's doing in there, because one guy's building rockets and another guy is fixing his cars all the time. They have a car shop. And another guy's doing marble sculpture for a show. And so, you know, you just walk around and see what everybody's doing that day.
Well, it's filled with creative energy, and so it's a perfect place for your studio, which is large, and it's literally filled with reused materials that you've collected on the street here in the Quad Cities, and you've purchased some, but some of it is completely collected and picked up, and you have various works scattered throughout the studio that are some are completed, some are incomplete, And I love that. Even the paint, you said a lot of the paint you get free from the recycling center in the Quad Cities.
Well, you know, I just kind of discovered these resources. And, you know, I needed some more black paint. And I was going to go to the store. And then I remember I could go shopping down at the recycling center in Davenport. You know, have recycled paint, and lo and behold, I've like found four cans, and so. But you know, I also use artist oils, which I purchase, and so. You know, I've been doing a large mural where I picked up, somebody was pulling down a structure, and I picked up this pile of wood that was weathered and everything, and incorporated into a mural, and. That really appeals to me. There's something basic in my character that likes to make something out of nothing. Mm-hmm. And like the pioneers, when they came to the Midwest, they dug their clay and they quarried their stone, and you know, and they cut their timber, and they didn't have to have a mortgage.
Yeah.
And they all built the barns together, and that really appeals to me. And so. You know, it puts a extra spin. But in my sculptures, I buy a lot of objects. Mm-hmm. And I'm always on the lookout for something special. Mm-hmm. And I also try not to buy anything I don't need.
Right, because the you know, we talked about the sculptures that won the first prize for you, but you do these really beautiful, very realistic portraits. And then separately, you make these. You're making currently this very large mural, which is modern and involves recycled wood. So it's completely different medium, and you're really good at all of those, which I think is somewhat unique. And with this large mural you're working on, and by large, it's something like 12 by 14 feet or something like okay. that. Yeah, and it has all these different portions where you have layered wood. Using these vivid colors, you use a lot of stenciling, and then you've mounted some found objects within it. And it's really stunning.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And of course, I used this pile of recycled wood that I got. And I had to kind of teach myself to use the table saw. And so I watched the videos on YouTube. And then I go up to the machine.
Did they help?
I always say a prayer.
Well, when I met you first, you had a pretty good-sized bruise, I believe, on your arm from the table saw. So.
Oh, yeah. I've kind of learned some things not to do.
Uh-huh.
I hope I never do them again. But, you know, I'd say doing this mural has taken a lot of courage and determination to step up to those tools and use them. Because you didn't tell him I'm 64 years old.
Well, no, I didn't. I wasn't sure if you wanted to share that. But since you brought it up, since you completed your first long career as an architect, right. And now are now that you really have the time to explore these artistic interests, I think it's delightful that here you are in your mid-60s and you're doing this and getting recognition in our community for your talent.
It's just fun. I'm motivated because I really enjoy it. And I get up in the morning and I think, what am I going to do? And I go down to my studio with a spring in my step. And to me, it was really fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just, I say it kind of feeds my soul. You know, it's something that's just the right fit for me.
Yeah. That's lovely. Do you anticipate staying in the Quad Cities, and what are your future plans at this stage?
Yes, this is my hometown. I'm a graduate of Bettendorf High School, and it's where my family is, mm-hmm. So I'm here to stay.
Yeah, well, good. Well, we're lucky to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah, besides your work at the College Invitational, there were many other interesting entries, although I must say yours is so visible. But I also want to mention that Roberto Torres, who represented Western Illinois, won second place for his entry that was entitled Rosary of Inquisition. And his entry was very powerful, and it's this large piece that you do see when you walk into the room. It's on the left, and it's encased within this clear glass box, and it's a large interpretation of a Catholic rosary, but instead of the traditional beads, there are these large, somewhat menacing ceramic heads that have replaced the rosary beads, and a ceramic cross with this all connected by this really large fiber cord. And the notes indicate that he created it to represent the suppression of the indigenous people in Mexico by the Spaniards who colonized them and then converted them to Catholicism. And I just wanted to mention his work because I just found it really fascinating as well.
And his piece won second prize, mm-hmm. and I was very attracted to it, the message behind it, that he has a Hispanic name. And the beads are about 10 inches mm-hmm. across, so it's really a large-scale rosary. But I thought it was complimentary to mine, too. If we had a similar message that uh-huh.
That you were getting across.
Right.
Yeah, I loved it, too. And I love the fact that history can be told so memorably through art, whether or not it's a historical episode, a movement, some event that occurred, or if it's just a feeling or a sentiment that you want to get across. Art very effectively does that for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Gail Ray, thank you so much for talking today, and congratulations on your first place finish at the Figge's College Invitational.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what you do next. The 2018 College Invitational at the Figge Art Museum is open until August 12th. So if you've not seen it yet, head on over soon. And museum admission is free through mid-August, so this is the perfect time to check it out. The College Invitational is displayed on the second floor, and to reach it, you get to walk through the Maurice Sendak exhibit, which is also lovely, especially for those of us who grew up reading his books. And that exhibition closes on the same date of August 12th. This has been Carolyn Martin, talking art in the Quad Cities for WVIK. Our theme music is provided by a Quad City legend, the late Ellis Kell.